Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Jonathan Ritter with Wake Up America Church Ministries. Hope you guys are having a wonderful day, night, if you're listening to this. Maybe you're listening to this podcast or audio during the weekend, and maybe it's now the weekday. But welcome. We've been working through a spiritual warfare sermon series, and I'm working on part 8. I started working on it. I haven't finished it yet, so I'm still going to work on it. Hopefully, I'll have that written out and ready to go sometime around Saturday and Sunday on that. Part 8 of our spiritual warfare Bible sermon series. Last week we went into part 7. And then you can stroll down on this website and you can find part 1 and just work your way up to 7. If you haven't went doing a series, it's always important to start with part 1 and then work your way into the other parts, because if not, you're going to miss something out of it, and you're going to maybe misconstrue something I say that's already been covered in the other parts. And that's, you know, one of the dangers of doing a series like that is some people can take stuff out of context. But you have to listen to all the messages when you're doing a series. And for me, spiritual warfare, very important. Should be very important to all Christians, that we're in a battle, guys. We're in war. And we need to know how to equip ourselves. We need to understand what spiritual warfare is and how to know how to prepare ourselves to do battle. I see it so much as it breaks my heart that the church is failing, especially here in America, to equip Christians in understanding spiritual warfare and preparing for it and preparing for war every day against the enemy that surrounds us. He is so destructive. I've seen it personally with my own eyes throughout my years, and just in my family, how he can dismantle people. I've told the account of I'm not going to give names, but you know, there was a, when I was a child, there was a man in my life. He was a family member. He was a preacher. He could play the guitar. He could play the piano. And I watched Satan dismantle his whole life. Right in front of my eyes. I didn't pick up on it because I was just a kid. A teenager. Now that I reflect on it. But we don't have to let the enemy do that. We have God's word here. That's what just really... blows my mind. We have God's word here. We need to be students of God's word. And no, the enemy does not change his tactics. He wants to divide our families. He wants you to go off emotionally and attack each other so there's a divide, so he can go in like any and divide and conquer. Don't let the enemy do that. If you're letting the emotions control you, you're letting him control you. Our emotions are dangerous. God's word should take priority. And when we feel those emotions coming up that are negative to God's word, we need to submit them where they belong. Give them to God. Before we react, let's walk away from it. Pray on it. Many families are been divided and been destroyed because of that. The enemy don't need much room. All he needs is a little crack. But spiritual warfare, part 8, is I'm working on. It's going to be with we're dealing with Ephesians 6, right? And we did verse 10, and goals to get an 11 and look at the wiles of the devil, but that'll be next week, Lord willing. This week, we'll look at Mark 4, 36 through 41. That's the set of scriptures that we'll be in today. And I preached on this several times. I am feel led to preach on it again. Somebody needs to hear it. I don't know who, but God needs somebody to hear this message today, or whenever. It might be today, it might be tomorrow, maybe in the future. I don't know. But somebody needs to hear this. And we'll be in Mark 4, 36 through 41. If you're taking notes, you know, if you want a title, simply the title is The Master of the Storms. The Master of the Storms. If you want to write to key kind of the umbrella question to this whole sermon today is, do you know the Master of the Storms? So we look at the title, very important, the Master of the Storm. We look at the key question. Of course, there'll be more questions added to that, but do you know the Master of the Storms? Now, I encourage you to, if you're taking mental, physical notes, write those down. Those are kind of important. That's kind of, you want to kind of want to be able to take that home with you today. After everything is said and done, you need to grab onto that. You need to wrap it. You need to carry that in your heart. You need to ask your question, do you know the Master of the Storms? So let's pray, and then we'll get in God's Word. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just get into your Word, Lord, I pray that you guide and you direct as you see fit. For I'm a mere messenger. That's all I am. I am nothing without you. Use me as you see fit. Don't use Jonathan Ritter, the fleshly vessel. Let the Holy Spirit flow through me to give the word to whoever that needs to hear it today. The message that you've laid on my heart this week to give to whoever needs to hear that. Lord, I pray their ears are open. They don't resist the Holy Spirit. It penetrates the heart. It can be painful. But truth can be painful. When I study God's Word, it's painful sometimes when I look at who I am and how and where I should be. It cuts to the quick. For I know you are still working on me. And I am still growing. Forgive me where I have failed you this week. Give me strength to be the man you need me to be, the disciple that you need to be. And I pray those that are listening that same prayer for them. But if they're a woman, Lord, for them to be that woman that you need them to be, that woman of God, that disciple of God. To keep on pressing on in this world. To understand that our emotions can be a dangerous tool that the enemy can use to rip our family members apart. And when they're apart from us, the enemy can wiggle all kind of things, all kind of influences in their life. And these chains can be devastating. But we know that you can break the chains. We know that you hold everything in your hands. God, we pray over our family members that are deeply in our hearts. We pray for those that are not feeling good, that are sick, Lord. We pray for those that are in financial burden. We pray for those that are experiencing the depression, the anxiety wrapping around their hearts. Lord, we pray, Lord, within all of that, there is hope. There is that anchor of our soul, that hope that's in only can be found in you, God. Through all the challenges, through all the storms that we face, we know that you, if we firmly place our eyes on you, you will help us through that pain. You will help us through those challenges. Didn't say it was going to be easy, but you told us you would give us your strength and your hope. And through the painful process of growing, we learn to become more like you. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So we are in Mark 36:41, and let's read that. It says, "And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there rose a great storm of wind and waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, and asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said unto him, Master, careth thou that we perish? And he rose, and he rebuked the wind, and he said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is that ye have no faith? And they feared even exceedingly, and they said one another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Here we have the disciples. They are about to experience a great storm. They are in this ship, and it's simply a boat. And if you really want to figure, kind of get a visual picture of how big this ship or boat was, most scholars would put it as no longer than a delivery truck, no wider than a bass boat. So it was not a very large vessel, if that helps. And they're making their way across the sea in a small boat. And here comes this great storm. It says a great storm of wind, a great storm of waves. And this boat, it was so intense, the boat was filling up with water. And I believe it's safe to say that there were, with the storm, there was thunder and there were lightning. Thunder and lightning coming from. So they were having all this stuff around them. And the disciples, they are immediately, they're looking around and they're having a fearful state. And in the sense, when we see this word fear here, this is speaking of a negative fear. A phobic fear. A fear of torment. Some of you guys may think of fear. You think of a fear of spiders, and a fear of snakes, and a fear of clowns, and there is a fear of weather, a phobia. But I want to tell you, this is this fear that causes torment, that causes anxiety, that causes depression, that causes hopelessness, that causes dread. This is a gateway that Satan can infect you. This type of fear gets your eyes off of God, places your eyes on yourself, and then what can you do about that situation? Now, when we're looking at the phobic fear of, you know, spiders and snakes and clowns, I mean, those are kind of crazy kind of fears, right? There are some people that are... I know some that when they see it doesn't matter how big that spider is, they want that spider dead. You could barely see it. It could be maybe a I don't know, just tiny. But there's such a panic. That little spider ain't doing nothing. He's just little and he's probably trying to find a way to get away from somebody screaming at him. But it's in their ear, in their, they're having a very strong a panic phobia to that situation of seeing that spider. And it's serious. But see that here, guys, that panic, that fear does not come from God. It comes from Satan. I know that's, you may view that as extreme, but here we have the disciples. They're in this little boat and they are experiencing this great storm. Now today I want you to try to, if you can, maybe you can try to place yourself in that boat today. I encourage you to place yourself in that boat. Now, if you haven't, you've never been in a boat, and I'm a country boy, I've been in a boat. I've been in a boat during a storm. It can get pretty intense. But maybe you can't visualize a boat. Think of a powerful storm that you might have been in, a physical storm like a hurricane or tornado or, you know, a thunderstorm. Most could say we've experienced that. It might have been in our home where you hear the howling of the wind and the rain beating on the walls and the roof. Maybe it was in your vehicle. You came across a severe thunderstorm and you had to pull over to the side of the road and you could feel, you could see the wind, you could feel the wind shaking your vehicle. You may be able to look up, you may see the lightning splitting the sky wide open and the thunder roaring like a lion ready to eat a prey. You may think of other storm experiences that you may have experienced. And if you can visualize yourself in that and just think about how they were in a open boat. At least at home there is some protection. You got four walls and a vehicle, you're enclosed. They were not enclosed. The boat was wide open, so everything they were seeing, they were exposed. Could you just think about how you were feeling when you're in your home and you're knowing there's a storm outside and you could hear the wind hitting your home, your house, your trailer, rattling it. You could hear the rain just coming down like bullets. What were you feeling? Right? You can feel helpless, right? You can feel hopeless. You can let that depression and anxiety rush right into your heart. And here is what the disciples are experiencing. They're letting all these emotions rush straight to their heart. And then they ask this question, Master, carest thou that we perish? In other words, Jesus, do you care if we die? And of course, we know Jesus Christ, he cares for us. And he cares if we die. See, God sent Jesus Christ down here as our rescuer. He sent Jesus Christ to, we have the beautiful scriptures here in the gospel to give us a small account of his life on this earth. And it's beautiful what we have. Oh, how we should cherish the scriptures and the gospel. How we should just cling to it. How we should never get tired of hearing that message of salvation and him coming down here to save a sinner like me. I do not deserve to be rescued. I deserve to die physically and spiritually. I deserve hell. But Jesus Christ says, I'm here. I have to come down here and to endure The cross. Oh, that old rugged cross. We should never get tired of knowing what He done for us. When we think of the old rugged cross, does it bring, does our heart skip a beat? Or are we just so now so used to it, it doesn't affect us? When I tell you what He done on the cross, does it make you want to lay there and cry? For He did not deserve. Oh, I pray, brothers and sisters, that seriously in America, we are so used to just hearing it that it doesn't affect us. We just, it's like something that just goes in one way or the other. Oh, we should sit there and think about the old rugged cross and what it meant for a sinner like you and me. For He had to endure the horrible things. The blood had to be spilt. All of it had to be because of what? Was He guilty of anything? No. He sinned not. He was that perfect lamb. For the Old Testament pointed to this perfect lamb that would come. John the Baptist said, here's the Lamb of God, that perfect, that blameless Lamb of God that will take away the sins of the world. Oh, how we should cling to the old rugged cross. For the rugged cross should have so much meaning, and it should affect us in ways. We should never get used to hearing that. It should rattle our hearts. Oh, when we speak of amazing grace and we sing the beautiful words of that hymn, does it affect you? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretched sinner like me. Oh, I deserve hell. We may all experience that physical death, but we don't have to experience that spiritual death. And that's such a beautiful thing that we do not have to experience that spiritual death. We are a child of God. If we have truly came to understanding what was done on that cross for you and me, truly grasping what the blood meant, the atonement for our sins, the new heart, the new life, the new creature, we are no longer the same. We are different. Our heartbeats don't beat. Our heart does not beat for this world, but it beats for the Lord. Our purpose is solely found in the gospel, and not on what this world can give us, not what our job can give us, not what our career can give us, not what our family can give us, only on what God can give us. Oh, our heartbeat should flow so deeply, reaching those around us with the gospel. Our heart is our job. Our physical job comes secondary to our primary. Our primary is to be that light to that world. And when our job sniffs that comes first, that should grieve our hearts. But when the disciples asked, do you care that we perish? He does care. He was not worried about what was going on in that physical storm. See, the disciples, they've already seen some of the miracles by Jesus Christ by now. And their faith here should be so much stronger than what we're experiencing, meaning that fear that they were experiencing was overshadowing the faith that they should have had at that point in time, that God had this storm, whatever. Physical death at that point should have not meant too much to them, because they were with the one that holds their life in His very hands. And we should be the same way. We should not let the fear, this negative fear, grasp our hearts. We should let our faith, that is a trust in God and what He is capable of, just looking at His Word, studying His Word, He will come through one way or the other. If it's not in this life, it will be in the next. If we die that physical death here, He will come through for us if we are His. With spiritual life, a place where there will be no more pain, no more sorrow, no more crying. That's a beautiful. Eyes have not seen, right? Ears have not heard what He has prepared for those that love Him. We can't even imagine what He has prepared for us. What is this physical life? If we're blessed, we get 100 years. But an eternity is forever. And if we are suffering for 100 years on this earth, it doesn't even compare to what is waiting for us after this life. We are His. But we are not. Your worst day won't mean nothing compared to the hell that you will go through if you reject Jesus Christ in your life. And that's the sad part of that. People think this is hell. This world is hell. I'm telling you, this is as close as us true Christians don't experience hell. But the guys that are rejecting Him, rejecting God, this is going to be magnified by a million on what hell is going to feel like. You can take your worst day today, or if it, whatever day it was, think of the worst day you ever had, magnify that by a million, and you're probably still not going to be able to get right where hell is going to feel like. You really think hell's a joke? Satan wants you to make you think it's a joke, but it's not. Put yourself in this boat, guys. I want to draw your attention here verse 37. I just want to read verse 37. It says, "And there arose a great storm of wind, and the winds beat and the waves beat into the ship, so it was now full." Two storms, guys, here. There's this physical storm that we clearly can see in Scripture. It's a great storm. And when you look at it, it's a storm of wind and a storm of waves beating into the ship, meaning the wind is hitting the ship and the waves are hitting this ship, this boat, and the water is coming into the boat and it's starting to be filled. And like I was saying, visualize, maybe you've been in a storm, and most of us can say we've been in physical storms. In Louisiana, I've seen plenty hurricanes and tornadoes in my time being alive. I'm 41, about to be 42. Or it might be 43, I don't know. It's hard. I have a hard time keeping track of it. But I've seen storms. I've seen hurricanes. I've seen tornadoes. I've seen severe thunderstorms. I've thrown through some pretty severe thunderstorms. And maybe you have too. But we're visualizing. We're seeing. If you can see, if you're in your home, you really can't see it, but you can feel it and hear it. If you're in your car, you can see the rain coming down. But you visually see that storm, or you hear that storm. It can cause panic. This panic is a separate storm from the physical storm. This is a storm within you. This is a spiritual storm. We don't truly have any control over physical storms. But we can control, through the Holy Spirit, those spiritual storms that are going inside of us, that are roaring inside of us. Alright? In verse 38, here's Jesus. He's in the back. He's sleeping on a pillow, a cushion. And what they do, they wake him. And they say, Master, cure that, that we perish. They're letting their spiritual storm, that physical storm, affect their spiritual, I guess, state or whatever it is. See, Jesus was right there in the boat with them, guys. He knew everything was going to be okay one way or the other. Second Timothy 1:7 says this, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. And this same word here, fear, is associated with fear that's in Mark 4 here. That spirit of fear. But of power, love, and of a sound mind. And sound mind in other translations can be self-control. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment, and he that fears is not made perfect in love. That's 1 John 4:18. This fear, this spirit of fear, what I'm getting at, this fear, this negative fear, is counter to God. This fear is of torment. And who wants to torment our souls? Satan. John 10:10 tells us, thief comes not but for to steal, right? To kill and destroy. See, Satan is a thief. He is outside of our home, and he wants to come in, and he wants to, when he comes in, he wants to steal, and he wants to kill, and he wants to destroy everything that he can possibly can. If he can take your joy, he will take your joy. If he can take your peace, he will take your peace. If he can just wrap your mind in hopelessness and desperation and this, he will do that, and you will allow him to do that, because he has no authority, only what we have given him. But what's so beautiful in John 10:10, that second part, it says, I, and that is Jesus Christ, is he? Jesus Christ, he said, he has come to give life, and that they may have it more abundantly. Meaning, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit that lives in us, we have the strength to overcome anything the enemy wants to hit us with. We have that power, and we have that love, and we have that sound mind, that when we truly are, our eyes are firmly placed on Jesus Christ, we walk within our spirit, and we do not give in to the spirit of fear, but what? Of power, love, and sell mine. And we have that peace. Right? Philippians 4:6-7 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made unto God. And the peace of God which pass all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Verse 7, the peace of God. The peace of God. Were they having peace here? Verse 38. Here, he said he was in a hinder part of the ship. He slept on a pillow. And they woke him and said unto him, Master, cure thou that we perish. care that we die. And he rose, Jesus rose, he rebuked the wind, and he said in the sea, he looked at that sea, right? That sea that was raging. He said, peace be still. He rebukes the physical storm. Here we know because his word says the wind ceased, meaning the wind stopped, and there was a great calm. And then he said, and he said unto them, now he's about to rebuke that spiritual storm in them. Why are ye so fearful? And how is it that ye have no faith? A great calm. A great storm. When you look at verse 37, you can just look at, it says a great storm, right? And then when you come down here, verse 39, that last part of verse 39 says a great calm, a great calm and a great storm to counter. This storm came, and this physical storm led to a spiritual storm within the disciples. But with Jesus, there came this great calm. Right? That is the peace of God that passes all understanding. Meaning this world cannot understand, they cannot grasp that peace that we should have in God as we walk in these storms in life. For he is the master of the storms. And do you know him? Do you know the master of the storms? Oh, I pray that you do. I pray today that you have truly given your life to Jesus Christ. I pray that you have recognized what the cross truly means. That cross is a bridge to the Father. We don't have to do as they did in the Old Testament, is to do the multiple sacrifices. No. One sacrifice, perfect Lamb of Jesus Christ, paid it all for you and me. That's the grace and the mercy of the cross. For by his grace we are saved through faith, not of ourselves. There is that faith that's involved in that. That's that trust in knowing that he holds everything together. When everything is falling apart, we can believe and we can trust that he will come through. That we will guarantee that even though we don't understand what we're going through right now, what kind of storm that we experience, we know if he does not follow through in this lifetime, in the sense that it could pertain to a healing, it could pertain to a protection of some of nature, we get so fixated. God will truly heal everybody that is his one day. In heaven, there will be no sickness. In heaven, there will be no sorrow. In heaven, there will be no pain. Some of us have to go through things in this life that is devastating. That will cause us want to question the goodness of God. Satan loves to do that. Satan loves to cause you to doubt God and his goodness. He don't need much room to operate, I promise you. All he needs is a little crack. He loves to cause our faith to waver in those storms in life. But I want to tell you today, Satan is a liar. We may not understand what we're experiencing right now, but one thing is certain, Satan is a liar. Through everything that we may be experiencing, we need to learn to cling to God more. The deeper and harder that storm, the deeper and harder we need to cling to our Jesus. We need to take take whatever we can and grab on to Him with everything we got and hold on. For within Him, we can have that peace. We need to hold on like there's no tomorrow. We need to be in His presence constantly. Our prayer life should be on fire. Our Bible reading study should be ignited. Oh, we should be, our hearts should just be on fire for God within those storms. That we will say, I know what I'm going through, but I'm okay with that. For I know who holds my tomorrow. I know who holds everything together. I know He will fall. I will, one way or the other, He will come through. If it's not in this lifetime, it will be in the next. And praise You, Lord, because I will praise You in the storm. I will praise You in my challenge. I will praise You, for I know who holds my tomorrow. I know who's the master of my storms. I know who Jesus Christ is. He is in a boat with me. And I may not understand what I'm going through right now, but I know that He does. And I am going to have faith that He has this. And I'll have faith to keep pressing on. And I will not let the devil distract me. I will not let the devil blind me. Amen, right? For our faith should be solid. Our root system should be deep down in God's Word. Going through something, there's a scripture for it, I promise you. Go deeper into God's Word. When it hurts, go deeper. When it hurts, go deeper into God's Word. Go deeper into prayer. Prayer is not a complicated thing. It's to communicate with God. You don't have to say specific things. You just have to go to Him in prayer. You lay your heart out to Him, whatever, any way you can to Him. For He understands what you're going through. And He will give you comfort if you just get out of the way. Oh, it's so true, brothers and sisters. I've seen it in my life. I'm not beyond going through deeper and darker storms as time grows closer to the coming of Jesus Christ. Today, or tonight, or whenever you're listening to this, just really want you to think about this. Do you truly know the master of the storms? Do you have a great calm in those great storms or challenges that you are facing? I don't know what's going on in your life at this point in time. But God does. God knows exactly what you're facing. He knows if you have allowed Satan to infect you with despair, with fear, with panic, with hopelessness, depression, anxiety. These chains that we allow Satan to wrap around our minds will drag us deeper into the darkness. But we do not have to allow Satan to do that in our lives. Why? scripture, guys. 2 Timothy 1:7 said, "For God had not given us a spirit of fear, right? But of power, love, and of a sound mind." Philippians 4:6-7, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made unto God." And when you do this, meaning being careful for nothing, but in everything, everything, not just specific things, by prayer, supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And then, and the peace of God, at that point, will pass all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind, your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. There is that calm there. There is that peace there that God wants to give you when you're going through all these things that we can experience in this life. We're looking around, we're seeing everything fall away. Maybe it could be something to do with your health, and you're looking around and you're like, "God, why is this happening? God, do you care for me? Do you care what I'm going through?" And He does care. I promise you. That's why He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to this world. Because He cares so much for the things in this life is only temporary. The pain that you're going through, that infirmity that you're going through, I know it's difficult right now. That crisis in your family is difficult right now. Maybe you're having trouble at work. It's difficult right now. But it's all just temporary compared to what is waiting for us that are truly His. If we really can get that mindset, guys. If disciples in the boat were really got at that point in time, and they got it in the end. You go into Acts and start reading. Majority of them got it. But at this point, they were going to be challenged. Their faith, no doubt, was being challenged. And I promise you, when we're going through these physical storms that lead to spiritual storms inside of us, our faith will be challenged. We're not immune from that. We may ask, "God, why is this happening?" A lot of us will ask that. I have asked that in my life. Just recently, maybe 3 months ago, I was asking that. Shaking my head. Now, I'm not, you know, and praying and seeking His face. Living the paycheck to paycheck. And all you guys can relate to that. Work 40 hours a week. And everything else I try to squeeze in. I try to write in sermons and Bible studies and all this. And it gets taxing. And you, when you're doing that, you're like, "What's the point? Does it matter? Is anybody listening?" Those are all taxed from Satan, by the way. So keep me in your prayers when those are. And you gotta realize, and most of you guys that do, maybe I have somebody might be listening with their where they do work a regular job and they also do ministry too. It's challenging. And then when you look across and you see those that are compromising the gospel, they're not they're set up pretty good. And you look at it, and it messes with your head sometimes. But here I'm getting, I'm just using an example of me looking physical. And now I'm allowing that spiritual storm to affect my emotions, to cause me to let Satan come in and enwrap those chains around my heart to pull me from God, right? From ministering the way I need to. And I'm just using that as an example. I'm throwing myself out there, guys. And to let you know, it can be brutal. And the things that we're going through this life can be brutal. But what do we do? We surround ourselves with God's Word. And when I say surrounding ourselves with God's Word, do we live and breathe Scripture? How many books of the Bible have you memorized? Or how many verses have you memorized? If you say, I don't know any, you got problems. There's all kind of opportunities on the internet for memorization techniques on memorizing Scripture. You don't have to memorize whole books of the Bible, but you can remember enough Scripture. Our minds are very powerful. We can contain so much information. We're like one time I was reading an article, we're like mega supercomputers in our minds, that we can absorb a massive amount of information. Now, a lot of us have problem coding. And if you ever study memorization, I'm getting off on a tangent here, but we can memorize large chunk of Scripture. Do not say that you can't, and don't let Satan think you can't, because you can. But I ask you, do you live and breathe Scripture? Oh, I don't got time for that. I won't tell you, I work 40 hours a week, guys. I have time for that. If you have time, I promise you, if I have time, you have time. Quit lying to yourself. Quit playing games. All you're doing is hurting yourself. How's your prayer life? Oh, I'm too busy to pray. See, when we neglect these things in our life, then we allow Satan to come in to our life. And when he's in there, when the things of this life start falling apart, the physical stuff, the physical storms, we let that affect us spiritually. And when that affects us spiritually, then we're on that dark road that can lead to devastation. It will affect our family. It will affect our friends. It will affect our work. But we don't have to. Through God's Word, we can counter anything that we're experiencing in this life. We can move our eyes from what we're seeing and what we're experiencing. We won't let our emotions rule over our rationality of what God says in His Word. And when we do that, we start operating more in the Spirit. Right? And that's the point. We are supposed to walk more in the Spirit and less in the flesh. And that's how we're supposed to do that. And yes, it's a disciplining of ourselves. It's beating of our flesh. It's crucifying our flesh, right? But it has to be done every day. That is part of the Christian walk. That is part of being a disciple for Jesus Christ. When it's all said and done, guys, do you truly know the master of the storms? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank you for this opportunity, Lord, just get into your word. Lord, I pray, Lord, that whoever hears this, it may be very challenging. I get that. these things that you've given me to say, they're challenging. Lord, I pray over that person, our people, or whoever, a group of, it doesn't matter, Lord, who, somebody needs to hear this, and this message will get to them one way or the other. Lord, we pray over them right now, wherever they may be going through. Lord, we pray for that they recognize that they do not have to let the enemy control them. They do not have to let the enemy inject their life with a spirit of fear. And the spirit of fear is devastating. This fear injects this desperation, this panic, this depression, this anxiety, this hopelessness. And all these are devastating effects of a spirit of fear that's within our hearts that can steal that joy and that can steal that power and that strength that we can have in you. Just as the disciples were in this small boat and they seen this big storm is on them and they could feel the wind, they could feel the waves, and it was a great storm, so we could just imagine it was thunder and lightning too going on. They could see all this, Satan was right there in the boat with them, and he injected this fear into their hearts. And when that fear was in their hearts, they woke Jesus up and questioned, "So do you care if we even die, Jesus?" And what does Jesus does? He rebuked the storm, and then he rebukes them. For there was two storms coming on that boat. There was a physical and spiritual. Let's grasp that in our life we will have storms in this life that will affect us. They're physical, that will affect us spiritually. But when if we're leaning on you truly, our eyes will be open to the devices that wants to cause panic and despair in our life. And we will realize that we don't have to operate in those emotions. We can submit them to you. Surrender them all to you. Cling to you, and you will give us clarity in all situations. Lord, I pray as we just end this sermon out that each and every one of us, as we go into wherever it may be tomorrow, that we focus on being the light in the darkness. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ, amen. Love you guys. Y'all have a good rest of your day or night.